Let me invite you to get your Bibles out and turn with me to the Old Testament book of 1 Chronicles. For those of you who may be here for the first time on a Sunday night in some time, we have been going through and are going through a simple prayer, but it's not just a simple prayer, it's a very profound prayer located in the book of 1 Chronicles chapter 4. A number of years ago, a man by the name of Bruce Wilkinson wrote an entire book based on these two verses. And if you have not ever read the book, it's worth the reading. The title of that book is The Prayer of Jabez. And he said, and I quote, "Outside of the prayer of salvation, there is no prayer that I have prayed that has blessed my life and brought more miracles into my life than the prayer of Jabez." End of quote. So here is a man who has shared what this prayer has done. And I can tell you, this is a profound prayer. It's a profound prayer because in this one prayer is packed so much that God just literally two verses, Jabez is on the scenes, he's off the scenes, and yet the Bible says that God heard and answered his prayer. Listen to the text as we read. 1 Chronicles 4, 9 and 10. "And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, 'Because I bear him with sorrow.' And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, 'Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me.'" Look at the last part. "And God granted him that which he requested." You know, as you read this particular passage of Scripture in Chronicles, and really the book of Chronicles, you will find lineage after lineage after lineage. You'll find all sorts of begats. And when you get to this particular chapter, in chapter 4, verse 9, it's as though the chronicler stops and says, "I want you to pay attention to this one man by the name of Jabez." There is so much said about him, only two verses, but when you read the verses before, that just talks about people living and dying and so having this son and this son and this son. But the Bible stops in verse 9 and says, "Here's a man by the name of Jabez, and he was more honorable than all of his brethren." And the chronicler literally says, here's what he did and what God did in his life because of his request. Now, Jabez is mentioned in such a way that, you know, you can't not notice his life whenever you read it. As a matter of fact, no doubt people in that time knew very well about the man by the name of Jabez. And on over in Chronicles, I believe it's 2 Chronicles, there's a city named after Jabez. Wouldn't you like to have a city named after you? Now, and there's probably some direct link between that, but there's just not really a lot of recorded in Scripture. But one of the things you'll find whenever you listen to the life of Jabez and read about him, his name means painful. You know, I don't know what that really meant. I don't know if it just that his mother had pain while she was bearing him, or that it was a very climate of pain around his birth, or all that was going on. But whatever it may mean, his name literally means painful. That's the definition of Jabez. But here's something so significant about his life. He didn't let pain determine his destiny. And I shared with you a few weeks ago that that life that really makes an impact for the glory of God is that life that doesn't let pain determine their destiny. You know, he didn't let his past determine his destiny. He didn't let pain determine his destiny. As a matter of fact, Jabez knew the significance of calling out to God. Whenever you look in the text of this scripture, the Bible says, In the climate in which he was living in, it was probably a very ungodly time, a very ungodly time to the point that people believed in a lot of different gods. But Jabez was going to be a different type of man. And the Bible says that he called on the God of Israel. Now, why does it clarify that? Because in that day and time, there were so many different gods. There was as many gods as there were almost the population. I mean, they had a god of the sun, god of the moon, god of the dirt, god of the sand, all sorts of gods, god of the water. And so they had all sorts of gods. But whenever you look at this passage of Scripture, Jabez, the Bible says, he called on the name of the Lord. What that means is he called with intentionality. Now, I want you to listen to me very carefully. Jabez's life is not an accidental life. Jabez lived probably one of the most powerful, complete, full lives because he learned to call on the name of the Lord. So I want you to get a pencil and a piece of paper out tonight because I want to share with you some principles in one particular request that he makes. Because if you'll listen in very close, listen to what he prays. Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed. Enlarge my coast, keep thine hand, that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. Now, when you read this request, it numbers only 32 English words. But listen to what Jabez is praying. He prayed by the power of the Spirit of God, and he prayed, Lord, that you would bless me. Now, I want to take that one little phrase, and I want to isolate it, because I want you to understand that so many things that we miss out on because we don't ask the Lord to do a work in our lives. So I want you to jot these down, and they're very simple. First of all, his prayer was a request for God's supernatural blessings upon his life. Now, when you read the text of this prayer, one thing is unmistakable. Jabez made it his business. He asked God to bless him. Now, what are you asking for, Jabez? He would be honest and tell you, I don't know what I'm asking for. But you know what? He said, I'm putting myself in the midst of the hand of God. Whatever he chooses and wants to do in my life, I'm going to leave that in his hands to do. You know, God's blessings are not designed for some and not for others. You know, one of the reasons why we miss out on the blessings of God, Jabez is a good example. He didn't leave his life up to chance. It is amazing how many people I meet in the path of life. Their life is just sort of like I leave my life to chance. You know, if good comes, whatever. You know, it's just whatever happens is going to happen. Que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. When you look at the text of this scripture, you find out that Jabez made it his business to ask a supernatural God for blessings. By the way, the word blessing comes from a Hebrew word. The Hebrew word literally means barak. The word barak means blessing in the Hebrew. And the prayer of Jabez was that God would look upon his life, that God would favor his life, that God would bless his life. And when you listen to the prayer of Jabez, in reality, you're listening for a man to pray for miracles to take place in his life. Now think about this for a moment. Isn't it amazing? We talk about God being the sovereign of the world. The whole world is in his hands. You remember that song back in Vacation Bible School? He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got you and me, brother, in his hands. He's got you and me, sister. He's got the whole. And then we ask God for something great. Well, I don't know if he can do that. Do you know that this world is designed for miracles to take place? Let me give an example. In the Old Testament, in the second book of the Bible, in the book of Exodus, you find very shortly after God called Moses to lead the children of Israel out of bondage, you find that miracle after miracle took place. Why? Because this world is so arranged by a holy God that it's designed for miracles to take place to that person who's willing to believe, who's willing to pray, who's willing to trust in the Lord God and to ask for the unbelievable. And you see, Jabez was asking for God's supernatural favor, a favor he couldn't completely understand because you can't explain the mind of God. You can't understand the mind of God. But, you know, when he prayed, he simply said, God, that you would bless me. And the word blessing carries with it a very interesting phrase. It literally means to supernaturally favor. In other words, Jabez said, Lord God, if you would supernaturally favor me, why should we pray for that? That's why so little happens in our praying. So little happens in our praying because there's so little praying. And then what little praying we do, there's little things we ask for in our little praying. You know, you ask for little things in your little praying and you get very little that happens. And the Bible makes it very clear. You know, Jabez prayed, and what did he pray for? He wasn't going to try to manipulate his life. Here's what he knew. And by the way, so much of the things that we ask for, if we don't see an answer come, we manipulate something. So we can say, well, I don't want to offend God. I don't want to say God didn't do something. Listen, one of the greatest miracles in the world, we see it from time to time. We see a person come to faith in Jesus Christ. That's one of the greatest miracles. Think about it. If you could literally see what happened to a person whenever they placed their faith in Jesus Christ, you would find that they were taken out of the domain of darkness, out of hell, and they are transferred, the Bible says, into paradise, into heaven. Why? Because of confession by faith in Jesus Christ. There's no miracle that supersedes that. But here's what happens. We have such a little expectation, such a weak belief in God. You know, that's why we don't ask for great things. We don't pray for great things. Listen, Jabez wasn't going to be. He knew that the God that he knew of, that he had seen, that he had heard of, was an awesome and mighty God, and he was not going to settle for a life that didn't count. He said, God, that you would bless me, that you would favor my life, that I may favor you. And you see, when you look at the life of Jabez, he didn't understand, as I said, all that was going to happen. He didn't want to live and die and not count for God. One of the things that is so intriguing and so saddening, and you see it so often, it's become normality in the Christian life. You see so many Christians that don't really care about counting. But when you listen to Jabez, it is as though this is the pulse of his life. It is the pulse of his heart. It is on the very essence of everything that he's thinking about, that God, that you would bless me. In other words, day after day after day after day, it was his heart. It wasn't a selfish request because, you know, it wasn't a prayer or a desire that was selfish oriented because he wanted to bring honor and glory to God. By the way, you know, when you want to pray and ask God to bless you and you don't want to be a blessing and you want to hoard all the blessings of God, you're not going to get the blessings of God. You say, well, bring it on. I want the blessings of God. No, one of the reasons we want the blessings of God and, you know, translated in whatever you want to say, whether it's a blessing of money, we want the blessings of God so we can hoard it into our coffers. I'm sorry, God won't do that. You know, whenever you look at the life of Jabez was serious about praying this prayer, and his prayer was a request. Now, I don't know all of Jabez's life. We know only two verses. We only know two verses of his life, and it's as though he's gone from the scenes. You never hear from him again in any of the New Testament. But he says, that you would bless me. Now, let me ask you a question. Let me put us to the challenge. Let me put you to the challenge. What would happen in your personal life? What would happen in our collective life as a church? Oh, Father, that you would bless us as a church, that we could bless you. That you would bless us, that we could honor you. Bless us and we'll bless your name. You know, in the life of Jabez, that was his request. Could I say this? Much of the staleness that we see so much in our church life and in our own personal life and in our own Christian life. You know, if I ask you, is your life a stale life? You say, I'd rather not talk about that. What is God doing in your life? What are you seeing happen in your life? Listen, Jabez knew that great things of God came by making requests of God. You've heard me say it, and I'm going to say it till I die. You have not because you ask not. And God makes it very clear. Jabez learned it. Don't know what age he was. The Bible doesn't say. But God put it in Jabez's heart to ask to be blessed. Do you ask God to bless your home? God bless us. Supernaturally favor us. Supernaturally favor us that we can favor you, that we can be a demonstration in our community, demonstration on our block of the hand of God. That we can be a demonstration of who you are. That we can show to the world that we live in. Listen, it's as though as Jabez prayed this prayer, the chronicler said, God heard his prayer. He said, you know how I know? I'm a witness to it. Listen, Jabez isn't the one that wrote this. Someone else that watched Jabez's life, that saw Jabez's life, is the one that witnessed. And you see, as I said, much of the staleness in our life is found that we won't ask, what are you praying for yourself? Now you say, well, it's not right to pray for yourself. No, that's totally right to pray for yourself. It's totally wrong to pray selfishly. Totally right to pray for yourself. Lord, bless me. Listen, would you like to have your body blessed? And I'm not talking about name it, claim it, but I am saying this. So many things we just don't even include in prayer. And truth about it is, if I ask you, and if I ask us all collectively, we're going to stand up and we're going to bear witness. I have a private time with the Father regularly. You may miss a day or two every once in a while, but I have a private time. And if I said all of us are going to stand, we're going to be on, what would you do? Would you be able to stand? Now, I'm not trying to pick on you, but here's what I am saying. If you don't have a blessed life, examine what you're praying for. Examine what you're not praying for. Examine your spirit. And you see, his prayer for God to bless was so specific that evidence was clear when the answer came. You know, have you ever noticed those seasons in your life when you're so serious about praying for something? You are so serious about praying for something or someone. You're praying about something and you're asking God about something, and that's the only thing on your mind. That's the only thing on your heart. That's the only thing on your soul. You can't get it off your mind. You know, I can recall seasons in my life and Charlotte, in my life, when the Lord just led us to pray for certain things and certain people, and they were just impressed upon our heart. We couldn't get them off our heart and our mind. And the point is, Jabez prayed specifically for God to bless him, for God to supernaturally favor his life, and because Jabez knew that he was in this world by the hand of God. Let's make the connection again. You are here and created by who? God. You are here for, your life is to impact. So you're to impact God, you're to impact this world. So why do you not ask the Lord's blessings? Listen, you've got about 70, 80, maybe if you're lucky, not lucky, blessed, 90 years. And then you're on with the Lord. You know, Jabez knew that he wasn't going to be in this world forever. But here's what he knew. I want my life to show God. I want my life to show God in such a way that people know. Man, imagine that your life is such a demonstration that people know that you're a person after God's heart because they see the evidence in your praying and your asking and your fervor. You know, it might have happened something like this. As Jabez excelled and might have been possessions and property, may have been all sorts of things. People would come into his life and say, what's happening to your life? It is all because I've asked of God. It is all because I petitioned. Jabez, how did you get here? I know where you started. How did you get to where you are? Listen, I don't have anything to do with it. It's all because of God. And the more, you see, here's the thing about it. God can create the world in 6 days and rest on the seventh. The entire universe is. What's the big deal in blessing your life and my life? But you know what our hang-ups are? Our hang-ups are sometimes they're sinful habits and disobedience and walking not oriented to God, and we're wanting our way in life and we want all the things we want in life. And Jabez was blessed in such a way that others saw it. Listen, there is something about that blessed life. There's something about that man of God, that woman of God, that you see their life and you know the hand of God is upon them. Why? Because they're yielded to God. They're servants of God. They belong to God. And, you know, Jabez, that was the example in his life. You know, when was the last time you prayed, though, and that the Lord would bless you and that it was visibly seen? I recall a story one time, and a man was in a failing business, and he knew that his business wasn't going to succeed without the Lord. Went to his pastor, and he said, I've just got to tell you, if God don't touch my business, I'm done. He and the pastor got on their knees, and he dedicated his business to the Lord. Asked the Lord to touch his business, and the Lord honored. The Lord touched his business. He told the pastor, he said, I'll do right by the Lord in tithing. Whatever the Lord does in my business, I'll honor him. He started doing good. Then he started doing quite good. He started doing very good. Then he started doing extremely good. He went back to the pastor and he said, I don't know what to do. And he said, what's your problem? He said, I'm doing so good now that I don't know if I can afford to tithe. He said, well, let's just pray that the Lord will put your business back to where it was. He said, oh, no, don't do that. You see, here's the reality, folks. God blesses us with a little bit, gives us a few coins in our pocket, so to speak, and that belongs to us, and we don't bless anyone else's life, and he can't go any further. You know, we want God to bless us. We want to, you know, to keep all of his blessings. God, you bring it on. And I'll tell you one of the areas he does it in finances. He watches your money. He watches your attitude of your money. And you definitely have an attitude of your money. Your money dictates what else happens in your life. You say, no, it don't. Yes, it does. And I can show you from Scripture. Because all throughout Scripture, and you know, talks about faithfulness, talks about tithing. And you ever stop to think if all Christians would tithe, we could double our mission force on the foreign field. We could lead more people to faith in Jesus Christ. And all of it's because I don't want to get a few more coins out of my pocket, so to speak. But the reality is, so many are unblessable. You say, what do you mean? If I just ask God to bless me, can't he bless me? You see, to ask for God's blessings mean that here's what you're willing to do. I'm willing to be obedient with his blessings. You see, part of the nature of God is generosity. Now, I want you to listen to me very carefully. It's part of the nature of God and it's part of your nature unless you're lost and don't know Jesus Christ. If you're a Christian, you have the generous nature of God living on the inside of you. It may not have ever come out yet, but it is on the inside of you because when Jesus Christ saved you, didn't he put his nature inside of you? Amen? He put his nature on the inside of you. I have the nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why, you know, He tells you and me, give and forgive and to follow him, do as he says. Why? Because we have his nature on the inside of us. And holy God by nature is generous. And when he saved us, he placed inside of you generosity. Now, it may not have come out yet, but here's the reality. When you are generous, when you are doing what he says, that is exactly what happens when he can continue to bless and overflow our lives with blessings. But sadly, oftentimes we operate in the old Adamic nature like Adam did and our old sinful nature. But the Bible makes it very clear. His prayer for God to bless was so specific that the evidence came. Listen, I want to challenge every one of you, every single solitary one of you, to make it your business, say, Father, that you would bless me, that I could bless thee. You say, well, now, wait just a minute. What if he starts blessing me? Well, he's already blessed you. That's a given. I mean, we're here, we're living, we have life. But in the life of Jabez, there was that special touch. And here's what happens. When you ask God to bless you, you're asking for God to put you in a sphere that you can't comprehend. In other words, you're saying, just like Jabez, Lord, bless me that I may bless thee, enlarge my coast. You know, his prayer for God to bless him was meant that he was willing to walk in the line of God's agenda. Think about it. Now, let me say this. Many misunderstand this prayer because they think it's sort of like this. Name it, claim it, get it, use it, absorb it, and coffer it for myself. That's not what this prayer is all about. It's as though this prayer you can simply pray and then ignore God, ignore his commands. But here's what God did. Do you realize the last part of this prayer? The Bible says, and God did that which he requested. Why could God do that which Jabez requested? Because Jabez's prayer meant, I'm willing to follow the agenda of God. Now, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but I'm going to say this to some of you. I want you to listen to me very carefully. Some of you will never have much financially. And you'll always have hard financial times because God is going to have his finger on your finances for your life because he's been trying for years and years and years to get your undivided attention. When you learn to start being benevolent and kind and gracious with your finances, it's amazing that you see him take his hand off of them. But when you throw your life into God's life and willing to follow him, here's what happens. The blessings come. You can't explain it. There are just things that happen. And I wish I had enough time to share with you just some specifics of things that you can expect. Why? Because that's exactly what God says. Turn over to Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. I want you to look at one verse. Matthew 6, 33. Listen to what Scripture says. Jesus is speaking, and it's almost as though he looks back at the life of Jabez, and he can. And listen to what he says. Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and what's the next word? All these things shall be added unto you. Now, when you're seeking God first, the things that are necessary in life. Well, what are the things that are necessary in life? Jobs, vocation, career, relationships, spouse. God says, you seek me first, and I will make it my business, my covenant promise, to bring all these other things into your life. That's what I'm saying, Jehovah God. And you see, when we as a church, as individuals, as God's people, are willing to walk in line with God's will, say, Father, we're going to obey you. You know what he does? He said, I'm going to make it my business to show you and to bless you. And one of the best and the most abundant demonstrations of that is this facility that we're sitting in tonight. Amen? You remember, many of you can remember years ago, if you'd ever been shown a picture of this facility, if you'd ever been shown a picture of this facility and what it was going to look like when we was out there in the other facility and think, this is what you're going to have. This is what you're going to enjoy. This is what I'm going to give to you. God, why are you doing that? Because I bless my people who make it their business to seek first the kingdom. That's why selfishness and stuff and all this stuff needs to be put to the wayside. Jabez threw himself into the agenda of God and the blessings. Listen, everybody knew Jabez had a blessed life because there was a difference about this man. He yearned to live under the agenda of God. I look at some people and I think of one particular pastor I know of. He is 76. And he has probably more busy schedule than a lot of young preachers that I know of. He is preaching all over the country. He is preaching in overseas. He is preaching, and he's not trying to be fancy or flashy or anything. He's just giving himself to the agenda of God. And you see, that's exactly what happened in the life of Jabez. He yielded himself up. If you're going to pray this prayer to hoard the blessings of God and say, man, you bring me the blessings, and I've tried this, Pastor, and it don't work. What's your spirit? What's your attitude? Because God don't honor this prayer to a selfish, self-centered, stingy spirit. But I can tell you this, Father, if you'll bless me, that I can bless others. You bless us, that we can be a blessing to others. You just hold on and you hang on for the ride of your life. Bruce Wilkinson shared, he said, whenever I prayed this prayer, and I just try to want to word it as best I know how he put it. He said, it threw me into the mainstream. It was one miracle after another miracle after another miracle. Why? Because, let me ask you a question. Don't you think your Father loves to show you himself? Amen? How many Christians are living a dead life as though, God, why are you so silent? Simply because such self-orientation. Jabez prayed for the favor of God. Lord, bless me. Favor my life. Because here's the thing about it. He wanted to live in such a way that every step mattered. Isn't it so sad? We live in a world where people are, and that name the name of Christ, they're just playing around, recreating around and all that. They don't take their soul seriously. They don't take their walk with God seriously. And the question has to be asked, are they really saved? Because bottom line is, if you're put on trial, there's evidence that demands a verdict, right? In your life, in my life. The Bible makes it very clear. And lastly, his prayer for God to bless him meant that he was willing to leave all the blessing to God. Now, I want you to notice something that is not in this prayer. Lord, bless me with. We'd like to fill in the blanks of that, wouldn't we? Lord, bless me with. Bless me with. Not Jabez. When you read this prayer is prayed in faith. I love Jeremiah 33:3. I want you to turn there. I want you to listen to it. I want you to turn to Jeremiah for just a moment. Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3. It's right after Isaiah, Jeremiah. I want you to listen to it. One simple phrase at the very beginning. Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me. Call unto me. And I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Do you hear it? The sad part about it is as though Satan has got a blanket over the lives of so many believers. They're not calling unto God. They're not calling unto God for great and mighty. And Jabez, listen, he called unto God. I don't want to live this life in a useless way. Our God is a covenant-keeping God. And here's the reality. So few people are receiving such few blessings. And it's not found in that God doesn't want to answer and God doesn't want to give. But I go back and I want to echo it again and again and again and again and again. And it's the reality. I'll say it and I'll say it a lot because how much have you been asking of God? E.M. Bounds, a tremendous preacher in the 18th century, I love what he said. He who prays the most has the most answers to prayer. That's rocket science, isn't it? And Jabez said that you would bless me. Jabez prayed believing. You know what he believed? He believed that his life mattered. Your life matters. You are significant to God. You are significant to His plan, to His purpose, to His agenda. God doesn't want you to live a life of nonchalantness. God doesn't want you to live a life just casualness. And you see, so many are missing out because they just don't pray. I wonder how many people have even taken the chance to say, Lord, I'm going to put myself in the mainstream. I'm just going to say, Lord, you bless me. Whatever you want to do in my life, I want to leave that in your hands. Whatever, however you want to work in my life. Now see, the thing that happens next is God shows a door, opens a door to your life, and you say, no, I don't want behind what's door number one. I want what's door number two. See, our selfishness comes out real fast, doesn't it? If I ask you, are you selfish? Chances are everyone will say, I'm not selfish. But yes, we are. We're warped. All of us are. That's the essence of sin. We're turned against God and we're turned toward ourselves. That's the whole essence. I don't want God's will. I want my will. You know, I really believe when we get to heaven, we're going to find out how few things we received as compared to how much God wanted to give because we didn't ask. I'll never forget, and I've told it to you, might have been some time back, but I never will forget one time going into Walmart with Stephanie when she was little. And I just said in the back of my mind, I'll get her whatever she would like for me to get her as long as it's within reason. I hadn't gotten her anything in a while. And I thought, I'm going to get her whatever she asked me for as long as it's within reason. We walked around Walmart, up one aisle, down the other. She talked about first one thing, then another. And then we walked out. I didn't get her a single thing. I didn't purchase a single thing because she asked for nothing. And that's what she got. I gave her exactly what she asked for. I got her nothing. Because I was wanting to get her something. And I'll never forget. Maybe the Lord allowed me to think that at that time just so I could remember that. We walked in, walked up and down the aisle. And you know there's a blue million things you can get. And low prices always. But she walked out without nothing. I had money in my pocket. I could have bought her something. You have a father that runs the world. You have a dad that runs the galaxies, the solar systems. And within our one galaxy, there are better than 200 billion stars that he is controlling even as I speak. And how much are you asking for? God is pleased when we ask. He is pleased when we ask for big things because he loves to show up and he loves to show out. You don't have a God that's hampered by economic crisis, by fiscal difficulty. We have a God who has it all in his hand. And as Jabez prayed, at the end of his prayer, and God did that which he asked for. God blessed him. Blessed him because he meant business. Meaning business with his Creator. Meaning business with his Sovereign. Do you mean business? If we took away our prayer life, would there be that much removed from our life at all? What would be missing from your day? 30 seconds? Minute and a half? 2 minutes at the most? 5 seconds? I honestly believe when we get to heaven, we're going to see all, and that's probably going to be one of the reasons we cry. We see all that God wanted. And we were so deceived that prayer didn't work. Prayer don't affect change. That is a lie. Jabez knew it, and he wasn't going to die not asking. What will you do? Father, I thank you so much for the challenge out of these two verses that speak so profoundly to us. Father, bless us that we can bless you. Bless us a lot. That we can bless you a lot. Bless us abundantly. That we can bless you abundantly. Lord, enlarge our coast. Keep your hand upon us. And keep us from evil. Father, I ask that. And Lord, one man, two verses, and a divine answer from heaven said, yes, I'll give you what you prayed for. Lord, that should motivate us. That should stimulate us. That should challenge us. That should awaken us. Father God, in this invitation is our prayer. In Jesus' name, I pray.